Now, from Hollywood, Romance. Romance, bringing you fine stories of today and yesterday. Stories of courage, adventure, devotion, and love. All strung on the bright thread of romance. Now with Robert Bailey as John, Jean Bates as Beth, and especially written for Romance by Les Crutchfield, we present A Fair at Auden.
I lay flat on the ridge back of the rocks and watched the Arab guards a quarter mile down the slope below me as they lounged in front of the gate to Fahad's tribal fort. Before dark, I had to be past those guards and inside that gate. I had to find Beth Tashara. I watched the sun sink lower, near the horizon now. In 20 minutes, I would try to enter that fort. The shadows would have been longer then, more deceptive, and the guards might fail to recognize me. I shifted closer to the sand dune. The Madrak, the evening breeze of Saudi Arabia, was springing up and the air was cool. I thought of Aden on the seacoast 80 miles behind me, safe and secure, with its paved streets, electricity, American motor cars, and British police. I thought of the commissioner and the way it had all started late the night before. Commissioner! Mr. Trolley! Commissioner!
Here now. Who's that?
John Bradley, geologist for the oil company.
Bradley?
Yes, sir. We've met at the foreign club. Open up, please, Commissioner. I've got to talk to you.
Right you are. Just a moment.
Bit of an odd hour for talking, though, boy.
Yes, sir. I know. I'm sorry to bother you, but something's happened and I had to get...
Oh, yes. I recall meeting you. You're that American chap. What's your problem?
Commissioner, a girl was kidnapped an hour ago, taken from her room by a gang of Arabs and carried out...
What girl?
Her name is Beth Tashara.
Oh, an Arab girl.
Yes, you probably wouldn't know her. She was graduated from the American University in Beirut 3 months ago and came here to work for the oil company. And about an hour ago, she was kidnapped.
Oh, yeah. Gone.
Her roommate just told me about it. They locked the roommate in the closet when they took Beth, and she just now managed to get out.
Tell me, Mr...
Bradley.
Yes, Bradley. Just who are they?
Some of the Idrisi tribe, according to Beth's roommate. Bedouins from back in the hill country. They were led by Sheikh Fahad.
Fahad, oh, yes. He's Hussein Agra's son. Has a fort or a stronghold of some kind in the Jebel Radam Pass, about 40 miles back in the hill country.
Yes, I know where it is.
Yes, Fahad's a young chap, educated at Oxford, strict Muslim, you know, quite a decent fellow. Oh, you can rest easy, Mr. Bradford. There's nothing we need concern ourselves about.
Look, didn't you hear me? I said he kidnapped a girl. He's taking her back into the hills right now.
It's quite so. A custom of the country. An old tradition, you see. Marriage by capture, or a pretense of capture. No doubt the girl was quite willing, actually.
This wasn't any pretense. She was kidnapped.
Well,
Commissioner,
no.
Beth is going to marry me.
Oh, really?
I'm through here. I'm sailing for home next week, and she was going with me. We planned the whole thing.
May I ask how long you've known her?
2 months.
Exactly. And... as a man of the world, may I point out that young ladies are often prone to change their minds in matters of affection. Well, I hardly
Look,
think there's...
Do I understand that you're not going to do anything about this?
Well, there's really not much I can do, you know.
All right, I'll do it myself.
Do what?
I'm going into the Jebel Radam Hills, find her and bring her back.
Oh, I strongly advise against that sort of action.
For what reason?
Well, he's a tribal chief, you know, hundreds of followers. He might make it a bit sticky for you.
Well, that's my problem, so don't worry about it. Sorry to have bothered you, Commissioner. Thanks for your help.
Oh, not at all, old boy. Always glad to be able to... Impetuous young fellow. Bradman, was it? Bradburn? Oh, well.
The shadows from the dying sun were growing longer now. Dusk was creeping in over the desert, but the hilltops still caught the last flat rays of light. My horse, tied back at the ridge, stamped impatiently. The guards were moving about restlessly, their rifles slung on their backs. I pulled the Manus closer about me, finding it awkward and uncomfortable, not being used to native dress. But more uncomfortable were my thoughts, for I realized for the first time since I left Aden that I might be making a complete fool of myself. The commissioner might be right. I remember the last time I'd seen Beth. It was 2 nights before in the palm garden near my quarters by the wall of the Mosque of the Shepherd.
It's always so warm here at night. In the hill country, it was different.
It's like this in Arizona in the summertime.
Johnny, tell me about this Arizona of yours.
Oh, it's a wonderful country. You'll like Arizona.
But will Arizona like me? That is important, too.
Oh, sweetheart, nobody could spend 10 minutes around you and keep from liking you. That's how long it took me.
You're so beautiful, Johnny.
Beautiful?
Oh, because you make me feel beautiful inside. Like when I hear camel bells way far off in the distance, or come to an oasis late at night, see the fires where the people are camping, hear them singing in the dark.
That's good, huh?
It's very good.
And so is this.
Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, camel bells, a caravan coming in from Isidri, from the desert. It all seems so long ago.
What does, honey?
I grew up out there, Johnny, beyond the hills, on the desert. I loved the caravans when I was a little girl.
You're still a little girl.
Then to Beirut and the house of my uncle. And I went to school and to the university. No woman of the Badr-e Ala ever went to school before, Johnny. And now I am different. I hear the caravans as a stranger hears them. And in a few days, I will go with you to live with strangers on the other side of the world.
Are you scared?
A little, perhaps. Sometimes I wake up at night and smell the desert in the wind. The old ways are long, and I think they die very hard. Hold me, Johnny. Hold me tight.
I intend to, from now on, whether you like it or not.
I like it. Oh, I like it, Johnny.
Oh, honey, you're trembling. Is anything wrong?
Not now. Something happened this morning in the bazaar. I saw a person I'd not seen for many years. A sheikh of the Asidri. A man named Fahad.
So?
He'd been away in the hill country. Did not know that I'd come back to Aden. You see, I was promised to him.
Promised? What do you mean?
Arrangements were made by our fathers when I was 10 years old. Such things are done among the tribes.
Well, what did you tell him? I mean about us.
Well, I was too frightened to say anything. He called me little bride, and then he laughed and rode on with his men.
You're really worried about this?
The men of my people are different, Johnny. And a woman does not have the same rights, the privileges.
Oh, look, Beth, is there anything I could do about this? So you can stop worrying about it.
No, Johnny, I'm not really worrying about it. It just upsets me, that's all, and I... Ah, yes, there is something you can do.
What's that, honey?
Hold me, Johnny, hold me tight, and don't ever let me go.
The sun was below the horizon now, and the hills lay in shadow. In 10 more minutes, it would be dark. Fool or not, win or lose, the chips were down. It was time to go. I moved back from the rock, stood up and walked back down the rocky draw to my horse, tied to a low thorn tree, skittish and impatient. I untied him and mounted. I pulled my headcloth up to hide my face and reached inside my robe and took out the rolled parchment scroll with its long crimson streamers of silk, trademark of the Desert Courier, dispatch rider. My whole plan depended on getting into that fort without being stopped outside by the guards. After that, I'd take my chances. Let's go, boy. I held the scroll above my head with the streamers trailing out behind me on the wind and rode down the slope at a full gallop straight toward the gate. The guards heard me coming and swung their rifles off their backs and held them ready. I spurred the horse and headed straight toward the gate, still closed.
Mirsal! Mavgok!
Then at the last moment, two of the guards swung the gate open and I rode into the courtyard. The guards followed me in and closed the gate behind them. Then another man came striding across the court and the guards salaamed.
Mandavajja.
Mirsal.
I'm afraid he's mistaken. I'm not a dispatch rider.
An Englishman?
No, an American. Bradley's the name.
Bradley. Ah, yes.
I want to see Beth Tishara.
Indeed. So simple, eh? Exactly as though you were at home in your own country, where everything is nice and safe. You're a fool, Mr. Bradley.
So I've been told.
I am the Sheikh Fahad. This is my district, the country of the Drisi. My word here is law, the only law there is. Do you understand?
Not quite the only law, Fahad. You're a Muslim, I believe. The Quran is your law. I rode in here of my own free will. Your men didn't bring me in as a prisoner. I claim the right of hospitality to strangers as commanded in the Quran.
Min halay ayat olam.
Bako.
Very clever, Mr. Bradley, but I doubt you will gain anything by your little trick. You must know also that the Quran puts a time limit on such hospitality.
Yes, I know.
3 days, after which a guest may be treated according to one's own pleasure. And I may as well inform you that I have some rather unusual ideas of pleasure. Meanwhile, welcome, Mr. Bradley.
We will return to romance and our story, Affair at Auden, in just a moment. What's apt to happen when a literary agent gets more than professionally interested in one of her writers? Rosalind Russell and Robert Cummings co-star in What a Woman on CBS Radio's Lux Radio Theater Monday night. Remember, it's on most of these stations Monday night. What a Woman. What a play. And now for the second act of Affair at Auden as we return to romance.
Baha had granted the right of hospitality for 3 days. But after that, what? I'd spent nearly 2 years in the backcountry making geologic maps, and I'd learned quite a lot about the tribesmen. But I can only guess at what Fahad's pleasure would be at the end of 3 days. But at least I had 3 days, or so I thought. The guard took me to a suite of rooms, lavishly furnished, and left me alone. I stood at the window for a long time, trying to plan my next move, looking out at the desert night, at the irrigation canal 60 feet below my window, at the distant ridges, black and pale silver in the moonlight. I knew Beth was somewhere in that fort, and I had to find her, talk to her. Yes? Who is it? What do you want?
Fahd say you come.
Come where?
You come now.
All right, let's go.
Glad you could make it, Mr. Bradley.
Oh, did I have a choice?
Naturally. Dinner is never a compulsory affair for a guest. Of course, I could have arranged something more elaborate if I had known you were coming.
Fahad, if you'd known I was coming, I wouldn't be sitting here now.
That's quite possible. Although, the more I consider it, the more the situation intrigues me. Perhaps we should have some music.
Look, Fahad, you know as well as I do that I'm here.
Relax. You Americans are so headstrong. The British, I can understand. But I confess you chaps are a bit unpredictable, even irrational, you might say. Amusing, however.
Oh, yes, we're real clowns.
Of course, it's possible you may not be a typical specimen. Every country has its fair share of rash fools. But somehow I... Oh, here comes our other guest.
Beth.
I imagine this may be a bit of a surprise to her. Good evening, my dear. Won't you join us?
I've already told you that I... Johnny.
Are you all right, Beth?
Yes, you shouldn't have come here, Johnny.
Shouldn't I?
You are not being very hospitable, my dear. And Mr. Bradley has, I might say, demanded my hospitality by taking advantage of a passage of the Quran which was written, I am inclined to suspect, in one of the Prophet's less inspired moments. However, inkne ale, so be it for the traditional 3 days. Afterward, well, that will depend on my disposition at the moment. Tell him about our plans, my dear.
What plans, Beth? What is he talking about?
You'll have to forgive her, the natural modesty of a young girl in love. Beth and I are being married tomorrow. A lovely addition to my household, don't you think so, Mr. Bradley?
Johnny, I
find her completely fascinating. Of course, I will have to compromise a bit with tradition, I imagine. Beth would hardly be satisfied with all the old ways. But since she, too, is willing to compromise... Well, my dear.
Is it true, Beth? Are you going to marry him? Is it true?
Yes. I'm sorry, Johnny. You shouldn't have come here. I'm going back to my quarters. I don't feel
Beth,
well.
Beth, wait. I want to talk to you.
Don't be a fool. I said I was sorry. There's nothing more to say. I told you the desert ways died hard. Go back to Odin and forget about me. Goodbye, Johnny.
I paced the floor of my quarters, cursing myself for being fool enough to come. It would make a great story around the clubs and bars in Aden, behind my back, of course. That crazy American, big laugh. Well, if she didn't have anything more to say, maybe I did, and the sooner the better. It was after midnight by then, and the fort was dark and silent. I moved quietly to the door and listened. There was no sound in the corridor outside. I turned the handle slowly. The door wouldn't budge. I tried harder. The door was bolted on the outside. I was locked in. I went to the window and looked out. A sheer drop of 60 feet down the smooth stone wall. But just beneath the windowsill, a narrow ledge ran along the wall to another window a few yards to my right. I've been a fool so far. Why stop? I was mad enough to give it a try. I swung a leg over the sill and felt for the ledge with my foot. Gradually, I eased my way through, and I didn't hear the door open behind me.
You are very foolish, Mr. Bradley.
Now, what? Everybody's telling me that. Just a second. Should I know you?
No. I am Tarad Alisi, wife of Fahad.
Wife?
At present, his only wife, and I would prefer it to remain so.
Sorry, I'm out of it. Better go talk to Beth Tashara.
Why?
I've got nothing to do with it now. If it's what she wants, it's her business.
What she wants? Did Fahad ask what she wanted?
What do you mean?
Is it so different in your country, Mr. Bradley? Can any woman be sure what she wants unless a man tells her and then proves it?
So?
If I help you escape from here tonight, will you take Beth Tashara with you and keep her with you?
That might not be so easy. She may not want to go.
What she wants? What do you want, Mr. Bradley?
All right, you've got a deal. Twenty minutes later, I was outside the fort waiting in a dark grove of olives with two horses tied nearby, watching a tiny door in the high stone wall. 10 more minutes passed. I started to get uneasy. Tara seemed to know what she was doing, but with Beth, I figured she'd have her hands full. Then the door opened and two figures in white stood for a moment in the dark entrance. One of them hurried toward me and the door closed. I stepped from behind the trees and waited. Beth?
Yes?
Over here. Oh. Hurry, hurry.
There's really no need to hurry, Mr. Bradley. None of us is going anywhere.
Fahad.
Tara really shouldn't have encouraged you to wander around in the night air this way, my dear. Your hands, Mr. Bradley. Put them up, please.
I can't argue with a gun.
Very wise of you, especially since you've seen fit to forsake my hospitality. You see, I'm no longer obliged to treat you as a guest. Ah, horses, too. Tara thinks of everything. A clever woman. Perhaps I haven't fully appreciated her.
What are you planning to do, Father?
What would you do, Mr. Bradley, with a man who took advantage of your generous nature and attempted to plunder you of your most prized possession, who pretended...
Stop! What are you doing? Just this. All right, go ahead and shoot if you want to kill Beth.
A sample of American chivalry?
No, common sense. And for an added precaution, I'm holding my own gun in her back. Don't come any closer.
He's not lying, Fahad. And he's crazy enough to do it.
I'll admit, I'm at somewhat of a loss, Mr. Bradley. What are your intentions?
I'm leaving here on those horses, and I'm taking Beth with me. If you make any attempt to stop us, I'll kill her.
And gain what?
Nothing. But I won't lose anything either. You've never intended to let me leave here alive. And at least this way, I'll take her with me one way or another.
You must be insane.
I'm also practical, because you'll never convince the Ruwala that you didn't kill her. I know what a blood feud means in this desert, and so do you. Well, do you want one on your hands, Fahad, or do you turn around and walk back to that fort and let us go?
I think perhaps you're mad enough to do it.
I'm more than mad enough. Well, come on, make up your mind.
There are, after all, a rather large number of women in this world. But a man has only one life, and if he's sensible, he prefers to keep it as peaceful as possible. Good night, Mr. Bradley.
Johnny.
Get on that horse and let's ride. Miles away, certain finally that we weren't being followed, we pulled the horses to a stop. Want to rest a few minutes?
Yes. I'm not used to this. There was a time when I could ride all day.
Oh. I thought the old ways of the desert stayed with a person. Died hard. Here, I'll give you a hand down.
Thanks. Johnny, I only said that
because... Now look. I didn't ask if you wanted to go back to Arden. But nevertheless, I'm taking you there. After that, you're on your own.
Oh, Johnny, you're such a fool.
You too, huh?
I only said what I did tonight because of you.
Because of me?
If I hadn't agreed to marry him, Fahar would have had you strangled before morning. I love you, Johnny. So much so that I'd rather you'd shot me back there when you threatened to than to leave me with him.
Oh, come here, baby.
Oh, Johnny.
Hey, you know something, honey?
Hmm?
I couldn't have shot you. I didn't have a gun.
Romance is produced and directed by Fred MacKay. Editorial supervision is by Het Mannheim. You have heard Affair at Auden, written for Romance by Les Crutchfield. Robert Bailey was heard as John, with Jean Bates as Beth. Featured in the cast were Shepard Menken, Parley Bear, Gladys Holland, and Don Diamond. This is Hugh Douglas, inviting you to hear Romance next week and every Saturday morning at this same time. Monday night, hear for yourself the highlights of the annual 500-mile Memorial Day auto race, exclusive on CBS Radio and direct from Indianapolis. Listen for the Indianapolis thrills of a lifetime. Remember, it's Monday night, it's exclusive, it's on most of these same stations. Don't miss it. Lionel Barrymore's Radio Hall of Fame is great Sunday night drama on the CBS Radio Network.